Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Cautionary tales for why not to bring up a topic just on a whim when you haven't even read the full article that somebody sent you. Yeah, that United worker that got into the fight with the guy at the ticket counter, totally fired. So that was... That was only just reported yesterday, Wade. There was no way I could have had that information 10 minutes ago.
Hey, so it's fine. Yeah. Seth, it's fine. A lot of stuff going on in the world right now.
As 40 people texted the show immediately. The United worker was fired, we'll find out more about it later on. Baker Mayfield is out there languishing on the potential trade market. Seattle and Carolina seemingly would still be potential landing spots for him. This is where I am with Baker Mayfield. I don't have a particular urge to see Baker Mayfield anytime soon on the Texans. I'd much rather find out what the upside is with Davis Mills and give him the full space with which to work without any quarterback controversy or anything and see that. But I also, like, Wade, if the right offer jumped out, if Cleveland just flat out said, all right, that's it, this is a fire sale, we got to get rid of this guy no matter what, and we got to do it stat, we just want to get something back for him, is there any way that you would want to see Baker Mayfield on the Texans this season?
I'm not a fan of Baker Mayfield. I've made that clear past couple of years. The way he handled the situation with Duke Johnson a couple of years back, the way he handled the situation
when he criticized Duke Johnson for holding out at the time in the offseason.
Right. He's become more mature as a quarterback as far as handling guys in the locker room over the last couple of years. But at the same time, his production has dropped off, and then he had his issues with this whole Deshaun Watson situation and, you know, feeling like he's been betrayed and all that type of stuff. Like, this is the league. This is a business. Like, there's no such thing as being betrayed. Like, it is what it is. And so, to me, there's too many guys around the league that are like, I don't want any part of Baker Mayfield. So why bring that circus into here in Houston? Let Davis Mills have his opportunity to show either he can or he can't. I think that's the priority number one, especially when there's a handful of guys in the upcoming draft that you feel like have a ceiling that's much higher than what you have with Baker Mayfield. And so if it doesn't work out with Davis Mills, you have opportunity to get another guy that's going to bring hope into the building, that's going to have a higher ceiling, and then work with that. And even if Davis Mills, you know, is decent but not good enough for you to say, hey, you know, this is for sure the guy, you still have draft picks, extra draft picks there if you want to trade up. Because say Davis Mills has a decent year and maybe the Texans win 6 games or 5 games to where they're not picking in the top five, you still have draft picks that you can trade up and get one of those guys that you feel like has a much higher ceiling. So to me, bringing in Baker Mayfield would muddle those waters in a lot of different scenarios. It would muddle the waters because maybe Baker Mayfield comes in here and the Texans win 6 or 7 games. And maybe Baker Mayfield does things the right way while he's here, and you think to yourself, well, maybe we can move forward Baker Mayfield. I'm not sold. I think guys, for the most part, are who they are. And when things don't go right, you could see him kind of bucking. You can see him showing that immaturity. So I'm not a fan of Baker Mayfield being here in Houston. I'd much rather have Davis Mills go out there, see what he has, and either he's going to sink or swim. And if he sinks, then you have the fallback plan. Like, I think the Texans are in a really good spot right now. I think bringing in a guy like Baker Mayfield could just muddy up the waters.
Yeah, that's where this is the circumstance under which I would let Baker Mayfield come to the Texans. If because this is the truth or because this is what they say, that Baker Mayfield's shoulder needed an extra season to recover, and that he's basically under no threat of playing this year. And he could just sit and observe, and you could evaluate Davis Mills' performance on the field. Well, you go ahead and evaluate Baker Mayfield's performance off the field. Is he like? Is he actually sitting and learning? Is he helping out Davis Mills? Like doing all that stuff that would lead you to believe, like, oh, maybe this guy's matured a little bit. And the other big, like the big part of it, and this is huge for teams that actually might want Baker Mayfield to play this year, is that he's got an $18 million salary. And the Cleveland's going to have to pay part of that, or Baker Mayfield's going to have to concede to a pay cut somehow if he's going to go somewhere. It really is amazing, though, isn't it, Wade, that if you look at Baker Mayfield versus, say, a guy like Mike Glennon, or even Nick Foles at this point. Nick Foles is a tough one because he had that brilliant stretch with the Eagles. But how much your personality can crush you as a quarterback. It can keep you employed for years if you've got a good one, and it can take you from being the number one overall pick to untradeable within a few years if you've got the issues that Baker Mayfield does.
It's all about belief. Like, if the guys in the huddle don't believe in you, the guys don't buy into what you're selling, then you're not going to have success in this league. And so, you know, a guy like Nick Foles, while I would say Baker Mayfield is a more talented quarterback, has more skills, Nick Foles is a much better leader than what Baker Mayfield is, and so he's going to continue to get opportunities. Baker Mayfield is struggling with that issue, and so now you're looking at him saying, like, do I want to bring Baker Mayfield and everything that goes along with Baker Mayfield into my building? Well, that's kind of the spot that he finds himself in. In your scenario that you brought up, Seth, about Baker Mayfield coming in and you know he's not going to play this year, you don't think that would cause a potential problem going into the following season? Because if Davis Mills is just okay, but he's not good enough to hold off any potential draft pick that's coming up in the 2023 draft, does Baker Mayfield on the roster as well, would that prevent you from drafting a guy? Or would you say to yourself, okay, Baker is healthy now, and we'll move forward Baker, and we'll pick, you know, the defensive player, and maybe pick the defensive end from Alabama or something like that. Like, don't you? To me, it adds an extra element to the roster that could potentially be, you know, a detriment to your decision making.
You know what it is, though. It turns into an absolute nightmare for Baker Mayfield, and maybe that's why I want to do it. Because, okay, let's say you realize you don't want Davis Mills, but Baker doesn't play this year. You have no idea what you have with Baker. Davis Mills, Baker Mayfield. You have no idea what you have with Baker Mayfield. So then you wait until the draft comes around, and then you end up drafting a guy number one overall, and Baker Mayfield still sitting there in the same situation as
that's
now.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
Yeah, I think I'm being sadistic is the problem. Somebody texts in, say, Seth, Tim Couch is a former number one overall pick. Why don't we go ahead and sign him too? Look, this is the difference. And by the way, I was once, Tim Couch was cut to make room for me on a roster once. I actually passed him in the hallway. Wow. As I was coming off of ACL surgery and what would end up being the last year of my NFL career, but I was going to make one more go of it. So I signed late in training camp to the Jaguars, and the Jaguars cut Tim Couch to make room for me.
Are you telling me that you ended Tim Couch's career? You did that?
Tim Couch ended Tim Couch's career, and we all know that. So, yeah, they cut me like 2 weeks later because there was a promising young defensive tackle on the roster.
Yeah.
That's
something
no,
you look at when you get cut. You look at the guy that they cut you for and see like how long he lasted in the league, and that's like something you keep track of. So I'm sure Tim Couch probably remembers Seth Payne because you were the guy that got him ousted from the league.
It was weird. You know what? It was almost like a made-for-TV moment. Except that nothing good or dramatic happened afterwards.
It wasn't in slow motion.
It was like something you would write in a script where I was walking into the stadium to go see Jack Del Rio, who was the coach who'd signed me. I was going in to see Jack Del Rio, and as I was walking down the corridor towards where the coach's offices were, the door opens up, and it's Tim Couch walking out, like having just met, I'm guessing, with Jack Del Rio and the personnel people. And we kind of made eye contact, and I knew who Tim Couch was. I don't know if he knew who I was or not. Probably not, because I don't think they had announced anything yet. But we kind of made eye contact, and I felt sympathy for him, and I felt a little bit weird as I was like walking in that I was like, oh yeah, I'm stepping right into your shoes right here.
Yeah, man, it's a weird dynamic when you're on an NFL roster and guys are getting cut and going in and out of the building, and you know, okay, I got cut for that guy, or this guy's getting cut for me. It's a kind of a weird understanding that, like, hey, this is the natural selection of things in the NFL. It's the circle of life, and I'm coming in and you're going out, and I guess guys can kind of identify with what that's like, and it's weird, but at the same time, it's just to be expected and understood.
I do think that it's unfortunate that Baker Mayfield just kind of has some kind of blocker glitch in the way that he. I think the way he either kind of takes slights or the chip that he has on his shoulder, it's good to have a chip on your shoulder, but there's something about Baker Mayfield where it's almost like he's out looking for insults.
Yeah.
And I think it holds him back. He's got to learn to find a better balance with how he uses things to fuel him, because he's got that fire and he's got a competitiveness. And that's all good, but I think over the next 2 years, at some point, he's got to figure out exactly how to turn some of these negatives into positives, because I think it's holding them back right now.
Yeah, it's a classic scenario where a guy's biggest motivation is also his biggest detriment, and that's what you're seeing with Baker Mayfield, that chip on his shoulder, his biggest motivation and to be successful. And he's had some success in his league. I think a lot of times we kind of skip through that part, but Baker Mayfield has played well at the quarterback position. He's not a Tim Couch. He's not a Mike Glennon. He's had some more success than those guys, and he has more talent than those guys. But if you don't have the makeup of a guy that's mature, a guy that other grown men in the locker room want to play with and play for, it's very hard for you to be put in that position by an organization to be a head coach. I mean, to be a starting quarterback or to be the face of a franchise, and that's what he feels like he is. He's the number one overall pick, but he's kind of played himself, and he's kind of put himself into a corner with what he is and what he's going to be going forward.
With the Texans moving forward, I feel optimistic, Wade, because the last couple of years, anytime I said that the Texans had finished number one on a list, I was usually making some sarcastic joke, and it wasn't a list that it was good to be the number one thing on. There is a number one that the Texans can actually feel really good about. We'll talk about that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay. Picture this, it's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road, the steeper the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.